Please open your Bibles with me once more to Revelation 13. Mankind is not what it should be. We are not what we should be. Sit down and try to imagine what Adam and Eve were like before they sinned. Do we really resemble them anymore? No. They were sinless. We were born sinners. Compared to Adam and Eve, we're almost like animals. The Bible compares us to wild animals. But then think about it. Animals don't sin. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, not only are we different than animals in that respect, but animals are better than us. They fear fire, but humans don't fear hellfire. Then compare yourself with Jesus, the only human in history that was absolutely perfect and without sin, and also he was God. What is fallen man compared to Jesus? John Calvin and Jonathan Edwards both said, compared to Jesus, humans are monsters. They're right. We have more resemblance to Frankenstein's monster or to Dracula than we do to Jesus Christ. We are worse than we think. And the Bible describes us like that. And in Daniel and Revelation are predictions of great empires and two especially evil men at the end of history, right before Jesus comes. And these two books describe them as beasts, wild animals, or, if you will, monsters. The first we looked at last week, the first half of the chapter, this beast rising out of the sea that is also identified as the Antichrist. Today we look at the second beast that arises that is like beast number two, or, if you will, monster number two, exceptionally evil, just like beast number one. Today we're going to look at this second beast called the false prophet. And then we reach these verses at the end of the chapter going back to the first beast and this mysterious code, as it were, the number of his name, 666, and the mark of the beast. 2 Peter 3 says that some things in the Bible are a lot harder to understand than others, and these verses are. There's wild speculation. What is the number of the beast's name? What does that mean, 666? And what is this mark given to unbelievers? And without the mark, they can't buy or sell. We're going to look at that this morning. So we begin with verse 11 of chapter 13. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Chapter 16, 19, and 20 gives him the title, the false prophet. 1 John says that there are many antichrists, and then one last, worst of all antichrist, this beast in the first half of this chapter. And in the same way, the Bible predicts many false prophets and false teachers leading up to one super false prophet, the second beast. And in this chapter and the rest of Revelation, we see that there are three that work together. There is number one, Satan, who's called the dragon. Number two, the beast, also called the Antichrist. And number three, the false prophet, who is also this second beast. Notice the three of them, and for centuries scholars have said this is the false trinity, the anti-trinity, as it were, the unholy trinity of the dragon, the beast, and the second beast, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. One point that this is making is this: those that do not follow the true holy trinity are doomed to follow the false trinity that is very unholy. Text here says that this false prophet, the second beast, is like the dragon, and he's like the Antichrist. He's the false prophet, like these others. These are individuals, not just personifications of evil in general. Satan is an individual. The Antichrist is an individual man, and so is the false prophet to come. It says he has two horns like a lamb. Who is the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. He's been described in Revelation as the lion that's the lamb. He is the lamb that's a lion. He is a lamb that's a sacrifice and meek, but he's also a lion that roars with authority. But this false prophet will be a false lamb. He's imitating a Jesus. One scholar said, Satan is always the ape of God, always imitating him in reverse, like looking in a mirror. Everything is backwards. So this false prophet that will arise will pretend to be meek like Jesus. Meek as a lamb, but it says, but he has the voice of the dragon. In other words, he may look like Jesus, but listen closely and you find out, no, he's really Satan's emissary on earth. Verse 12 says, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. You could say he's the assistant to the Antichrist. He's the vice Antichrist, second in command, and he acts on his behalf. And one of his roles is to stir up worldwide worship of the Antichrist. And so Satan and the Antichrist use him, as it were, to lure the whole world into worshiping both Satan and the Antichrist in this new worldwide religion. You could say that this false prophet of all false prophets is the number one fanatic of the Antichrist that worships him so much that he stirs it up. He's like an evangelist going around the world, and he'll succeed in forming this worldwide religion, worshiping both Satan and the Antichrists. Well, various fanatics have arisen over history and world leaders trying to set up a world government. And they usually have number one cheerleader that stirs up people on their behalf. Think of who was Hitler's next in command, as it were. Well, it wasn't ones that you would think. It was Dr. Joseph Goebbels. I say doctor because he had a PhD. He was the only intellectual in the inner circle of Hitler, and he was the one that really stirred up the crowds to follow Hitler. In fact, the witnesses say Hitler could really move the crowds, but Joseph Goebbels was the only one that could outmaneuver the crowds more than Hitler and stirred them up into a fanaticism to follow Hitler. Well, that's what this false prophet in Revelation 13 will do. People have guessed who the first beast is, and there have been other guesses as to who this second beast is. Some say, well, he's called the false prophet. Maybe it's Muhammad, because as you know, the creed of Islam is there is one God, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And ask any Muslim or former Muslim, what do they refer to him as? They always call him the prophet. So for centuries, some have said that's who this is here. Thing is, though, when you fast forward, this false prophet will be alive until the second coming, and he appears before that. Muhammad is long gone. Others have suggested, since he's a religious leader, maybe he'll be a pope. Perhaps he will, but it's not the papacy as such. That's been around for centuries. But the point is, if this Antichrist, first beast, is the worst human enemy in all history, the enemy of Jesus Christ, the Antichrist, this false prophet will be not only the false prophet, but the worst enemy of the third member of the Holy Trinity, the enemy of the Holy Spirit. He is an international religious leader, but he doesn't claim to be God. He doesn't claim to be the world ruler. He stirs up people to follow the Antichrist, and it says here, everybody in the world will do that. They will worship him except Jesus. What's his modus operandi? Verses 13 and 14 tell us. The false prophet performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven like Elijah had done in the Old Testament in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So he's been given this power to do these amazing signs and wonders. This had been predicted by Paul in 2 Thessalonians. Perhaps you know the verses. It's predicting the coming of the Antichrist who does these signs and wonders to convince people. Let me read the verses. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So God allows Satan and the false prophet to do these lying wonders that will convince people they are from God and the world should worship them and not the true God and Jesus Christ. However, if you study the rest of your Bible, you know this. Only God can do true miracles. How do I know? Well, among other reasons, that takes omnipotence, and nobody but God is omnipotent. Gospel of John said Jesus did many miracles, and he records 7 to prove he is who he said he is. But if somebody else can do miracles, that would prove that they too were Christ, the Messiah. So Jesus is the only one that can do true miracles. God delegated some power to various prophets and apostles. What the beast and what the false prophet do are lying, deceitful, pseudo-miracles, tricks, as it were. Yes, Satan and the demons and the false prophet have some power to deceive people into thinking that these miracles prove that the Antichrist is God's man. In fact, he is God in the flesh. And they've been deceived, and it spreads around the whole world with this image, and people see it. And they bow down and worship him. And notice it says everybody in the world does this except Christians. Verse 15 says that now this image comes alive. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. In other words, you worship the Antichrist or you die. But as we said last week, people just don't worship him grudgingly out of fear of death. They do it willingly, like we willingly believe in Jesus. There'll be this mass religious movement around the world where people will willingly worship the beast. They will be convinced by the false prophet. And of course, they know they do this or they will die. But Christians will not do it, and many of them will, in fact, be martyred. It says the whole world will see this. Now, I'm not quite sure what this image is, a statue, a theological idolatry, but it says everybody will see it and will be caused to worship beast number one. How? Maybe it'll be broadcast on TV, network, the World Wide Web, the Internet, social media. I'm not sure, but the point is that it leads to a one world religion as part of the beast's one world government. You see how these coalesce? For centuries, people have tried to set up a worldwide government, and it's never come about. Closest was at the Tower of Babel, and God stopped that. Other religions have vied to be a one-world religion, and they've never succeeded. Not the Mohammedan conquest of the Middle East, not Hitlerism or any other such movement. But this chapter tells us there will be one day a one-world government with the Antichrist at the top and a one-world religion that everybody except Christians will believe. And again, that's centered around the Antichrist. Now, the question is, how's that going to come about? Well, with these miracles will convincing people, but let's step back a little bit now. Other than Christianity, there are many religions around the world. How is he going to get them to forsake those religions and worship the beast, the Antichrist? Well, there's at least 3 or 4 options. Number one, the beast could simply abolish all religions and make them illegal, as it says here. They worship him or they die. And so people will say, I don't want to die, so I'll convert over to Antichrist worship. Secondly, the option is that the Antichrist will somehow convince everybody he can unite all the religions into one. And you know, there are movements that try to do this. Have you ever heard of a religion called Baha'i? Their international headquarters are just up the road in Chicago. And in their temple, they have seven doors and seven windows standing for the seven major religions of the world. And they say, we're uniting them all. And they have their prophet Baha'u'llah. And they say, we will form a one world religion. Maybe that's what Antichrist will do. Out of these other ones, he merges them into one. Or he could provide a new international religion that will lure everybody from their previous ones, and they say, who cares about Islam or Buddhism anymore or Christianity? And they will say, we want this new religion, just what we've been looking for, just like they've been looking for a one world leader that will finally bring peace on earth. And this is what will happen. How? Remember again what the Bible says. What is behind false religions? They are not worshiping the one true God. Only Christianity worships the one true God. The other ones are all false demonic religions. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says Satan is the, quote, the God of this world. And 1 Corinthians 10:20 says there are demons behind the idols of all false religions. All false religions are basically denominations of Satanism and demon worship. So once you get that peek behind the curtain, you can see at the proper time, Satan will unite all the demons and their false religions into this one religion at the end of time before the second coming of Christ. And it will be demonic to the core because it will be Antichrist worship. And so the false prophet and the beast will work together to move mankind to this one world religion based upon Satan. Just think about it. There'll be no more Mormons. There'll be no more Muslims, Buddhists, Jains, Sikhs, Hindus. There'll be no more atheists, no agnostics. Everybody in the world will worship the Antichrist. You could say they will all be not Christians, but anti-Christians. And they will be proud of it, perhaps evangelizing on behalf of their false Messiah. And you can imagine even then that they'll tear down the temples and churches and synagogues and build temples to the Antichrist and churches for him and maybe have a picture in all their temples. And you see, it will be an international fanatic worship of the Antichrist. And everybody will do it except Christians. They will see it for what it is and they will say, we will rather die before we worship the beast, the Antichrist. Now we've come to two of the most unusual and controversial verses in the whole Bible. Look at what it says, verses 15 and following. Excuse me, 16 and following. He, the false prophet, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let he who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666, 666. This is called the mark of the beast, and it's initiated by the false prophet, just like it was Joseph Goebbels and Hitler that said, let's have everybody wear a swastika on their arm or around their neck. It was initiated by the false prophet, but initiated and inspired by the dragon Satan. And it says it's enforced on everybody everywhere, and everybody will willingly accept it except Jesus. Just like in the Third Reich, almost all the Germans wanted to follow Hitler with the swastika and say Sieg Heil, but the Jews didn't do that. They wouldn't dare do that. They'd say, that's against our religion. Unfortunately, they were forced to wear the Star of David and then get tattooed in the concentration camp. So you see, it's something like that. Notice it says they're not allowed, nobody is allowed to buy or sell that would not take this special mark of the beast. Buy or sell. In the old days, under Soviet communism, they said you cannot buy or sell unless you have a certain card where you have sworn allegiance to Karl Marx and communism. And some of the Christians said, can you imagine the pressure that would be on Christians? How are they going to eat? How are they going to feed their children? How are they going to do this in the future during the tribulation? How, if they can't buy or sell, maybe they own a farm and they can eat their own produce, or maybe they've stored up food. Maybe friends will share with them. I don't think they're going to start stealing. Maybe like Elijah, they will be fed by birds that God will send to feed them. I don't know, but it says here, ultimate cancel culture. You cannot buy or sell. They will be, of course, banned from all media because you are Christians. You are the enemy of the Antichrist. Just like Hitler had his scapegoat, Antichrist will have his scapegoats called Christians. He will go after them, and so will the whole world. Verse 17 is very mysterious. The mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Notice the three are put together there. They corresponded. But what is this number of his name and the mark of the beast? For centuries, ever since John wrote this, people have guessed and tried to figure out, and they think that they know what it is. Let me just briefly mention a few of the guesses. Some years ago, a woman named Mary Ralph wrote a book, and she says, I've got it. The mark of the beast is the universal barcode. You know those little parallel black lines that started appearing in the 1970s? And she says, the day will come. In fact, on the front of the book, it showed a picture of a man's face with the barcode on his forehead and then holding up the hand, and it was there. Other ones have suggested maybe it's that little computer code square that you put your cell phone over, and it's something like that. Everybody will have to have one. Or a government number, like your social security number, or a tattoo, like Jews were given at Auschwitz. Or it'll be maybe like an oath, like Heil Hitler. Maybe it'll be like, we salute you, O Antichrist, with your right hand, and there's your mark, and then with your head, something like that. Others have speculated it might be an implanted computer chip, either to make a person super smart, or the excuse, well, we implant these to fight terrorism. Other ones have suggested maybe a kind of a universal credit card that everybody has because it'll be a cashless society, and without that you can't buy or sell food. Now, I don't think any of those are true, but since these are basically still in operation, it would seem logical that Antichrist would use these, but I think that the mark of the beast and the number of his name is something a little deeper. I don't think that it's COVID vaccination. Other guesses. Years ago, people were saying, you know, I keep seeing the number 666 show up. I was driving with someone once to a Bible study, and he said, you know, I've heard that they're going to make 666 on all license plates. And I said, John, I don't believe that. He says, well, let's just take one. He says, look at that car over there. Let's add up the numbers. And guess what? It did turn out 666. He says, I told you so. And I said, well, my license plate doesn't add up to 666. And people are saying it's going to be, those numbers are going to be everywhere in the world. Others have suggested that the mark of the beast is something like a symbol, the swastika, the hammer and sickle of communism, the Islamic moon of Muslim worship, or the pentagram or upside down cross of Satan's, or maybe some new kind of symbol or mark. We don't know for sure because the Bible doesn't specifically tell us. I tell you what it is not. You've heard of the cult called Seventh-day Adventism? Their founder, Ellen G. White, said, I know what the mark of the beast is. It's worshiping on Sunday. According to her, we've all taken the mark of the beast and we belong to Antichrist because we worship on Sunday rather than Saturday. Well, it's certainly not that. My view is that this is not a literal mark. I don't think it's universal barcode or implanted computer chips or secret tattoos or anything like that. Look at the context. Number one, Revelation is highly symbolical. It calls the Antichrist a beast. He's not a literal animal. Jesus isn't literally a lion or a lamb. Satan is not literally a dragon. Three or four times in Revelation, we are told that Christians have a mark on their forehead. Just look at the very next verse, chapter 14, verse 1. I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father name written on their foreheads. I don't see anybody here with God's name on your forehead. Does that mean you belong to the beast? No. What it means is, this is a mark that you truly believe in your mind and you truly serve someone with your hand. This is what is going to happen. Christians have the mark of God on them. How? We believe in our mind. We work with him with our hands. But Antichrist followers have his mark on their forehead. They believe anything he says. They do whatever he says. That, in my opinion, is the symbolic nature of the mark of the beast. But what about the number of his name? Again, many hundreds of guesses. All have shown to be wrong. Very popular in early church was that it was Nero, because they said, well, in Hebrew, you can add an N and it comes out Caesar Nero, with the numbers all add up to 666. Others said it was the Caesar when John wrote this, the Caesar named Domitian. Later, about 50 years later, Irenaeus, a church father, said, no, let's use Latin, so it comes out as Latinus, the Latin one from Rome. Middle Ages, people added up the name of Pope Innocent III, and it came out 666. And then Catholics added up, in some unusual method, Martin Luther. And they said his name totals up 666. Other ones did it with Napoleon. Because they say, well, it says here the number of the beast, the number of his name. And so they say this has something to do with an ancient number system called Gematria. What is that? You've heard of Roman numerals in the Latin alphabet, as well as in Greek and in Hebrew. Numbers stand for letters. For example, in the Roman numerals, I is 1, V is 5, X is 10, L is 50, C is 100, M is 1,000. And so you could put those together by looking at a person's name, taking the letters, given the numeric equivalent, and see, does it form 666? And it's like that in Hebrew and as well as in Greek, but it's not like that in English. Scholars have pointed to this, and they said they found about 150 years ago a little papyrus letter somewhere in the ancient Roman Empire, maybe down in Egypt, and a man had sort of a love letter, and it says, I love her whose name is 545, probably meaning, you know, the numbers added up with gematria. Problem is, which alphabet was John speaking about? He was Jewish, but he was writing in Greek. He certainly wasn't writing in English or Latin. And so for centuries, people have tried to use all sorts of numeric systems to try to come up with 666. And they stretch the bounds of all credibility. One wise Bible scholar kind of made fun of it and put it like this. There are three rules by the help of which I believe an ingenious man could find the required sum in any given name. First, if the proper name by itself will not yield it, add a title. Second, if the sum cannot be found in Greek, try Hebrew or even Latin. Third, do not be too particular about the spelling of the name. In other words, you can use any numeric system and come up with almost any name. They did this in the 1940s with a certain one coming up with H-I-T-L-E-R using some unusual system. I mentioned last week that I remember in the 1970s it was popular in some circles to say, yes, we can identify them. I still remember that day. I was attending a Pentecostal Bible college, and during the service, a young man stood up and prophesied about the Antichrist, and he even gave us the numeric system, and he says, let this number stand for this and that one, yay, this one, that one, and he said, using this number system, you can get 666 out of K-I-S-S-I-N-G-E-R, Kissinger. And I still have a book saying Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. You know, he's well into his 90s. I don't think he's the Antichrist. Others have said, no, it has something to do with either binary numbers or the magic numbers. And ask our resident math teacher if he knows about this. I forgot the technical term for it, but you can add up like 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, and you can come to a certain number. 36 is such a number because it is the sum total of all the digits leading up to that. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 all the way to 36, and you get 666. What in the world's that got to do with the Antichrist? Some people see significance. Probably closer to the truth is something very interesting. Since John wrote in Greek, perhaps he is thinking of gematria, numbers, and letters. What would the name Jesus add up to in Greek? Jesus. You know what it adds up to? 888. One more than the letters of perfection, 777. And the Antichrist is one less than that. And a lot of scholars say that the Antichrist, beast, is less than perfect and Jesus is more than perfect. Maybe so. Ask me what is the mark of the beast and the number of his name, and I'll be honest, I really don't know. And I'm wondering if anybody knows. But as I've said before, when he comes, it will be obvious. 2 Thessalonians says he will be revealed. Whatever the mark is, Christians won't take it because they'll see what it is. And whatever the number of his name is, they will spot it and say, not me. I'm not going to believe in this. He is the Antichrist. Now, before we get our lessons, practical lessons out of this section, what will be the ultimate doom of this unholy trinity consisting of the dragon, who is Satan, the beast, who is the Antichrist, and the second beast, who is the false prophet? They're going to rule the world, and Christians will be martyred because they do not submit. But what is the doom of the Holy Trinity? Well, Revelation goes on to tell us. Revelation 19:20, listen closely. The beast was captured. This is at the second coming. The beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. What about the first member of this unholy trinity, Satan? Revelation 20:20 says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And they know this is their doom. Matthew 25, Jesus talking about the judgment day when everybody that's ever lived and appears. And then he says to those that die lost and unrepentant, he says this in verse 41, depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. And that includes the Antichrist and the false prophet. You remember 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. At the second coming it says, then the lawless one, Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. What am I saying? Jesus wins. The unholy Trinity will be vanquished and thrown into hell forever and ever. Please say amen. We are on the winning side. We don't go to hell with them. We go to heaven with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, here are three practical lessons, very serious ones. Number one, beware of any attempt to establish a one-world government or a one-world religion. They will both be evil because they are guided by the devil. People for centuries have been trying to set up a worldwide government or a worldwide religion. But God interrupted that early in human history at the Tower of Babel. But these beasts want this, and Revelation 13 says they will establish a one-world government together with a one-world religion, satanic to the core. But remember, all non-Christian religions are false and demonic. They come from hell, and they lead people back to hell. What's the application for us? Please see false religions for what they are. They are not worshiping the one true God. Only true Christians worship the one true God. We are not allowed by the Bible to attend false religious services. Do not unite with them, even in good social causes. That often leads to ecumenical saying, well, we're all Christians, or you might be a Muslim. Or, well, we all worship the one true God. You hear this all the time in the social media. But it goes square against the Bible. The true religion is biblical Christianity, and that alone, it is exclusive. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is the only truly international religion. Revelation 5:9 and Revelation 7:9 both say that in heaven there will be Christians from every tribe and nation and race around the world. That is God's true international religion, but it will not be everybody on earth until the second coming and after the second coming. Think of this. What Satan establishes in his evil empire and one world religion will crumble when Jesus comes. What does Jesus do when he comes? He sets up a one world religion and a one world government with him at the top. He is the only one that has that right, and that is the future of the world. But in the meantime, beware attempts to establish a one-world government or a one-world religion. Number two, beware of false prophets. 1 John said that there will be many antichrists leading up to the antichrist. In the same way, the Bible repeatedly warns about many false prophets leading up to the worst false prophet of all. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing. How does this false prophet come? Looking like a lamb, imitating Jesus. The Antichrist comes like he is the true. He may even claim to be the second coming. 2 Peter 2, Jude, Galatians 1, and many others warn about false prophets, false teachers, false messiahs. Can you identify them? John said they were antichrists in his day. They are false prophets in our day. Can you identify them? Or are you just naive and gullible to say, well, he says he's a Christian. He looks so handsome. Listen to his voice. He sells a lot of books. He's on television. Can you identify these false prophets? How can you? Only by the word of God. Isaiah 8:20 says, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Dear brethren, this means you have to know your Bible and measure all religious leaders, all religions by it alone. And Christianity is the only one that measures up. It says that this false prophet will work apparent miracles that are lying wonders. Beware of false miracle workers today. They're not true miracles. Many of them mean well, and God does do healings. But there are no people that are the miracle workers like the prophets and the apostles. Beware of those false miracle workers, because many of them, not all of them, but many of them, use that as an excuse to gather a large crowd, and then they preach to them bald-faced heresy, denying the Trinity or some other false gospel. Be on your guard. And of course, many of them, it's not just to promote heresy, but to get your money. So avoid the false prophets and instead listen to God's true prophets as recorded in the Holy Word of God, the Bible. And listen to the true preachers and teachers that preach from the Bible. And don't just believe every preacher. Weigh their words, including mine. Please, mine. Measure it by the Word of God. That's our second point. Number three, give your full allegiance only to Jesus Christ. He is the only one that deserves it. You see, no mere man or woman or religious or political leader deserves it. They are simply men and women. Beware of political messiahs. It can easily become a fanatical movement. Remember Hitler. Remember Joseph Stalin. All the other ones. Remember the prophecies of the beast. political messiah. Beware also of false religious messiahs that people will swarm around and say, he's just what we want. This is why, for example, in the Protestant Reformation, they said, the Antichrist has to be the Pope. He claims to be the leader of the one church. At that time, he said that. They become more ecumenical now. But beware of ecumenism. It's moving for a one world religion. Dear brethren, Jesus Christ alone deserves unreserved allegiance. We give him total surrender. We submit willingly to his lordship. And without that, a person is not a true Christian. And don't give your full allegiance to anybody or anything else. We are to take Christ's mark on our head. We believe anything that he says because he is God. We take his mark on our hands. We want to serve him. We want to work for him. We want to obey him. And we also take the mark of Jesus on our hearts by loving him. Amen. It's better to follow the Lamb who is the Lion all the way to heaven than to follow the dragon, the beast Antichrist, and the beast false prophet. Where do they lead people? To hell fire. Which Trinity are you following? The Holy Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Or are you following the unholy Trinity of the dragon, the beast, and the second beast? Let us all stick with the true Trinity and not the evil false Trinity. It's well to be warned. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have warned us of this evil Trinity to arise one day. We may not live to see it, in which case that would be a blessing. But many of our brothers and sisters will live to see it, and they will be persecuted and martyred, and what an honor that will be. And that this evil Trinity that will arise will create this evil, wicked, one world religion and one world government. But Lord, we know that that is no match for Jesus. He will topple those empires. He will set up his true religion and empire on earth. And of that empire, there will be no end. He will rule forever and ever and ever in heaven and on earth, while the evil trinity of the devil, the beast, and the second beast will suffer eternally in hell. All glory to you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We celebrate you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.